Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
Hey, it's time for Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. And I'm Dr. Lisa. How you doing? You know what? Well, first of all, thanks for listening to Radio Free Brooklyn, which is the best radio station in, in the world, because I've checked them all, and this is it. This is it. It's a 24/7 station. It's great. We're going to have so much fun today because we're going to be talking about a specific film called Don't Be Nice, which, you know, I'm sure the Bushwick Film Festival sent over this really good looking guy. I told my husband said to me today when I was leaving the house, he goes, "Who's on your show today?" And I said, "I don't know, a really good looking guy." And his name is Nicol. If you don't, you can go to my Facebook page. I post a picture of him. Anyway, Nicol Melnichuk. Did I say that right?
You did one of the finer butcher jobs of it, I'd have to say.
How do you say it? You say it then.
Nikhil Melnichuk.
That doesn't sound that much different to me,
yeah,
frankly.
Yeah, I like the way you said it, actually.
You did? We can keep doing that. Not bad. Not bad. Anyway, he's the producer of Don't Be Nice, which is a fabulous, which I think is going to be really fucking interesting film. But we're going to get to him in a second, but I just have to get this off my chest, what I've been dealing with, so that you understand what I'm going through right now, okay? So you can be with me while I'm with you, folks. I'm not talking about Nicol. Now I'm self-conscious about it. I'll never get it right. But the thing is that my husband is at home right now, a block away, suffering from a kidney stone. Therefore, I am by proxy suffering from a kidney stone because I have had to spend the past week in emergency rooms and listening and like him in like serious pain and running around and doing all this shit. And my whole life has gotten turned upside down, which is something that I need to cope with right now. And I have every moment of my life scheduled. So that whole thing just got blown up. And I'm right here right now with you, which is so great. Thanks for listening, folks. I love you. I love you for listening. You know, you're making me feel grounded today. You're doing the therapy for me. So once again, thanks for listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. Go to radiofreebrooklyn.org/donate. Donate some money. I mean, God, I don't know if I'm going to be able to hold it together. I'll be on the street. I'll need some money. Anyway, so I want to tell you about this. I want to tell you about, are we getting a call already? Is that possible?
This is going,
hello?
Going well.
Is that right? I don't know. That was weird. By the way, we're going to be giving away 10 tickets, I understand, to this movie. Don't Be Nice. So if you want to call in at 718-928-9732. 718-928-9732. And you could win tickets to this movie, which is going to be on Saturday night. So 7:40 to 9:15. I'm going to give you all the details in a minute. But first, I want to get Nick, I'm calling you Nick, okay?
Call me Nick. Nick, I'm into it. My close friends.
So Nick is going to explain the concept of the film, which is fascinating, but I'm going to let him do all the talking while I collect myself. Go ahead.
Lisa, thanks for having me on the show. Yeah, we're honored to be a part of the Bushwick Film Festival. So it's great to be here. The film is called Don't Be Nice, and it's set in and around the slam poetry community. Have you ever seen a slam poetry show?
I have.
So it's competitive poetry, if you can believe it. You get 3 minutes and 10 seconds to perform a poem in front of an audience, and you are judged by judges of your peers. And the film is about Bowery Poetry Club's slam poetry team in the summer of 2016, competing for the National Poetry Slam, which is the largest slam competition in the world, where 100 teams from all across the country get together in a different city to compete for the national title. So this year in 2016, that took place in Decatur, Georgia.
Can you explain the process a little bit of what it's like to do a slam, and then what it's like to be trained to do a slam? Like, you had there's a coach on the team and stuff like that, right? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, it's very much a team sport, which is something that we wanted
to. That's weird.
It is weird. It is weird, especially given that poets have a stereotype of being very solitary artists, you know, sitting in their little corner, smoking a cigarette, drinking a coffee, writing their poem. This forces poets to work together and collaborate. And poets perform not only solo poems, but they perform group pieces in slam poetry. So sometimes four or five poets are doing a poem together. And then it really takes on some theatrical elements as well.
I didn't know that. So, and they only get 3.5 minutes?
3 minutes with a 10-second grace period.
Oh. Yeah. So that sounds really... Do they know exactly what they're going to say before they're going to say it?
Well, you hope so. I mean, most of the time, all the pieces are heavily constructed, written, rehearsed, edited, choreographed. And that's actually a lot of our film. It's showing the process. When you go to a slam and you see the poems and the poets perform them, you can't believe how powerful and potent those performances are. And you might imagine that they're off the cuff, but really there's been a process of months of writing and rehearsal. And
no, I mean, I have seen it done, and it can be very, very intense and very, reverberates is, I think, a good word. It like really kind of like it gets you in there and, gets into you. And I think that particularly if you have any way of like, well, that's me, it's powerful. I'm gonna say that for sure. It's really, really powerful. It's just amazing to me that to perfect those 3 minutes, you know, is it what's involved? The words, the writing, the performing? What is the ratio of performing to writing and stuff like that? Tell me a little more about it.
Well, this was making this film was really my first experience with getting behind the scenes on a slam poetry team. I myself don't consider myself a slam poet. I haven't slammed per se. I haven't competed. I'm a watcher of it and a fan of it.
And what's the difference between you're a poet?
Yeah.
Nick is the director of the Bowery Poetry Club, which he took over. I didn't even realize this. I thought it used to be, I thought it was still Bob Holman, but Bob Holman's the founder, and you actually replaced Bob Holman in a sense in the role that you have, Nick, at the Bowery Poetry Club, right?
Well, it's been a really collaborative process working with Bob. He's the visionary behind Bowery Poetry and gave me an incredible opportunity 5 years ago to step up and try to do something new with Bowery Poetry. In 2013, the club switched from being a for-profit business to a nonprofit business. And that's when I came on. So my passion has always been the unification of poetry and filmmaking. Those are two things which I'm obsessed with, and I want to see how they can be brought together. And this film is really our first experiment with that concept.
And this is truly your idea, this film? You put everybody together. You're the one who got the director on board and all that stuff, right? You're a real producer. You're not like somebody who's like, hey, I'll write you a check.
No, and I didn't write a single check. No, this film, I put no money into this. This film was wholly funded by this incredible foundation.
Oh, really? Which one?
It's called the Radio Drama Network. And it's run by a woman named Melina Brown. And she was one of the visionaries behind this project as well.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, in 2016, we restarted the slam at Bowery. It was called Bowery Slam, and we hired this incredible young woman named Ashley August, who's just a bright light within the slam poetry world.
Mm-hmm.
We hired her to restart a slam at Bowery.
Oh.
And she came in, and she just brought the best of the best of the slam poetry to our venue.
Oh.
And every Monday night, there would be a competition. And after 2 weeks of this, I knew that we had to do something with it.
Oh,
because it was
really?
It is so potent.
So what time is that competition? It's every Monday night? What time?
So right now it happens monthly. Once a month. Yeah.
Okay. And also, you idiots out there, if you don't know what the Bowery Poetry Club is, it's a very, very important part of our culture. Poetry culture, but really all culture. I think it's the most important center for poetry in New York City, which New York City is probably the most important, one of the most important centers of poetry in the whole world. So if you don't give a fuck about poetry, you should at least know what the Bowery Poetry Club is and look it fucking up, you idiots. Sorry, I'm overdone.
No, and we made our movie for people who might not give a fuck about poetry.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a very dramatic film. It's a documentary, but very emotional.
I cry 3 times every time I watch it.
So anyway, I want to understand this before we go further. What's the difference between a poet? You consider yourself a poet.
Yes.
So what's the difference between poetry and poetry slam?
Poetry slam is describing the competition, and the competition being a night at a venue where poets sign up to compete. They get up on stage and they're expected to have prepared at least 3 3-minute poems. And they're going to share those poems, be judged on them, and then the winner will move on to the next stage of competition.
So would you say that psychologically, personality-wise, it would take a different sort of poet to want to compete, like maybe a more aggressive, maybe an angrier poet than
I think that's the stereotype.
But I'm asking you because I don't fucking know.
Than
a regular nice poet, regular old poet, or what's the crossover? Just content personality wise, what do you think?
I think that there's no opportunity to be precious about a slam poem, because you know, when I'm sitting there writing my poems, and I'm very personal about how I write, and I rarely read them aloud, and I rarely publish them, they're very personal things to me, and I feel very sensitive about how they're understood. And for a slam poem, you have to be brave as fuck, because you're going to, whatever you've written, you're getting up on stage, a crowd of 100 of your peers, and they're going to judge you on it immediately.
Okay.
So you have to not... worry about being nice.
Okay.
You have to just say, fuck all. This is what I have to say. And you're going to listen to it for the next 3 minutes and 10 seconds. You might be heckled. People might throw things at you. They're certainly going to yell at you if they don't like it. They're going to applaud you if they love it. You are down to just share your words no matter what. So I think that's the personality type that it brings out. People who are very brave and people who believe in themselves and what they have to say.
Also going to say that maybe there's a difference, like an extrovert introvert thing, like extroverts. And yeah. I also think that there's a certain kind of bravery. And for some people, I'm grateful that there's this medium. I think it's a great medium. And I am grateful to everyone who participates in it. But I think for some people, it isn't necessarily brave. I think it's like it reminds me a lot of, you know, I know more about comedy than poetry, and it reminds me a lot of stand-up comedy in the sense that people think those comedians are brave, and some of them are, and certainly you're brave, anybody getting on stage is brave, but there is a certain, like, they have to do that, and they have to get on stage, and they're like, you don't need, it sounds like you don't personally need an audience for your work in that way, a direct in your face audience, but some people really need that. And I think that's an important point, because I think that there's a lot of great work that comes out of that. And we regular people, I'm sort of in the middle myself. I'm in the middle. I don't die to get on stage, believe you me. I mean, I'm fine with it, but I'm not desperate to do it.
Some people need it, but regardless of whether people need it or not, what I see is it forces people to keep creating new work. Because if you are going to go to the Bowery Poetry Club or the Murikan Poets Cafe or wherever, or your local university slam poetry scene, and you're going to get up and compete, you are putting yourself within this small group of people who every week are coming up with new material, creating new things, following new trends, following political topics. Suddenly, people are expecting you to have an opinion about things. And so that means you can't just pull out poems you wrote 5 years ago, because people are going to know it's not topical, it's not relevant. You have to have that pen out all the time in writing.
You know what, Nick? Yeah. I give you that 100%. I give you that 100%. It's hard. That is hard work. That is definitely hard work.
A lot of the, I mean, action is a strange word to use for it, but that's a lot of the action of our film is seeing how the poets in our film respond to what's going on with poems, and how, for instance, one sequence of the film, two of the poets, Timothy DeWitt, Ashley August, are watching a trailer for the movie The Purge, a horror movie that came out in 2016. Mm-hmm. And this next thing you know in the film, they've written a poem that directly responds to that trailer for The Purge. So there's really there's that direct oral communication aspect.
Okay,
to spoken
I'll,
word
I'll give you some. I'll give you something here, Nick.
Yeah,
these slam poets have it way over stand up comics then, because they'll I've seen a very well known comic do the same jokes two nights in a row. So
yeah,
read this just this week.
but you got hits. I mean, the thing is, the poets in our film are some of the best in the world, and are certainly some of the best in the New York scene, and they have hits. There's poems that they do that people want to hear them do, and there's YouTube videos of those poems. Bowery, we just launched a new poetry video network called slamfind.tv. Mm-hmm. Which you guys can go and subscribe to and watch lots mm-hmm. of spoken word poetry videos. But poets will have their hits that people want to hear, you know?
People call out for those? We want to hear this, or we, well, how
well,
do you?
In not so much in the competitions.
Oh, not
themselves,
in the competitions.
But as soon as the audience realizes a few seconds in that a poet is doing one of their hits, they'll start shouting, they'll start going up for it because they're so excited to hear that poem.
I see. Oh, that's interesting. That makes sense. So I'm gonna be honest, folks, I haven't seen the film, but I have read about it. I've seen the trailer and all this, so it seems like the coach is an important character to me. I got that feeling. Is the coach of the team an important character in the film?
Yeah, absolutely.
So and can you tell us a little bit about her?
Sure. And we really
and
drew
her role in
on
the film.
In structuring the film, we really drew on the genre of sports films, where you have a motivational coach who's really pushing the poets towards a new way of working. And we got so lucky because the coaches, there are actually two coaches in our film. Oh. There's John Sands, who's one of the stars of the poetry world, the spoken word poetry world, an incredible poet and educator himself, and Lauren Whitehead, who sort of became the head coach because she was available all summer mm-hmm. With these poets, mm-hmm. Is herself a poet, a dramaturg, an actress. Mm-hmm. She starred in an opera this year, but an incredible, incredible character. And part of the reason why we hired her is because, and by her own admission, she's a failed slam poet. She used to slam when she was younger, and she would always lose, or usually lose. And when we were talking to her about coming on to the position of coach for this team, she said that she would want to do it if she had the team's trust to try something different.
Ah,
and
I like that.
Yeah, and that Bowery Poetry Club is known for slam. That's one of the things that mm-hmm. that is in our DNA. Mm-hmm. We had a team previously called the Urbana Poetry Slam, which was run by Taylor Molly. And Urbana was at Bowery for a number of years. It was the most winningest team ever in national titles. So when we were coming to launch a new season of Bowery Slam with the new host Ashley August and make this film, we thought we really want to push the genre forward. We want to, in our power position, I mm-hmm. guess, as one of the arbiters of what slam can be, we wanted mm-hmm. to challenge mm-hmm. the community to try something different. Mm-hmm. And what we came up with, what Lauren wanted to do, and ultimately through the course of the film really convinces the team to do, is to write towards radical honesty, mm-hmm. Personal politics, mm-hmm. and look for the story behind the story. Those are the words mm-hmm. that are used in the film, mm-hmm. rather than just write the obvious political mm-hmm. message or the obvious statement. She wants you to be deeply interested in your role.
Is the title of film, does it come from her?
No, the title of the film actually comes, it's called Don't Be Nice.
And there's a second part to that sentence.
Dot, dot, dot. It's Don't Be Nice, dot, dot, dot. And it's fill in the blank in a way. And this is something that the audience members at Slams yell out to poets as they're going up. They say, don't be nice. Don't be nice. And and some people finish it, be nasty. Some people finish it, be necessary. But the idea is, you know, don't give it to me easy. You know,
they're looking for
the raw, real, unadulterated shit. Mm-hmm. And that's what the poets in our film do.
Mm-hmm. So what was the role that Lauren played in the film? Like, what do you see her doing? Do you see her like, you know, is there a lot of one-on-one? Is she like going, hey, that's bullshit to the.
Yeah,
is
in
she
a way.
Really, is she, what's she like? What's her role?
Lauren is brilliant. She's
is she going to be at
no
the
prisoners.
Film on Saturday?
I don't know.
Screening?
She came to the last screening.
Hope
our
so,
last
Lauren.
Screening.
Yeah, Lauren, get your ass in gear. Don't be nice. Come on. I'm not going to be nice.
I hope she comes. She's the central character of our film because she's so inspirational.
So how does she treat the poet? How does she coach? Like, what's it like?
Tough love. And she doesn't take anything but the best and the truest. And that's what's amazing about her as a character in the film, because you know the poets, all the poets in our film are accomplished slam poets. They're people who have won many slams. Mm-hmm. They're getting gigs. They're mm-hmm. they're validated in that community, mm-hmm. and so they get up in the first third of the film is the poets performing some of their old hits, some of their new work to the coaches, and looking to the coaches, I think, to say, yeah, that's cool. That's good. And Lauren, and it becomes a joke in the film, she just always shakes her head and says, where's the poem? You know, this poem doesn't have what I come to the page for.
Wow.
So she basically goes in and says, you guys got to start from scratch. And then that really sets up the second act of the movie, which is where the poets decide as a team to write brand new creative work. And Lauren and John together, just across the board, every line, interrogate it. Where is it coming from? Are you saying what you truly mean?
Wow. Yeah. Wow. So she's really, she's hardcore, for real.
Yeah. And one of her jobs is as a dramaturg. So I think she takes that experience and puts it towards poetry in a way that you don't often get.
So how do the, I'm sure there's a range, but like what kind of reaction does she get from the slam poets that she's coaching?
I mean, that's part of the fun of the film.
But
I really encourage anyone listening, no
spoilers.
I'm not going to give it
powerful
away.
Powerful, what happens? That must be a lot of the drop. That sounds like potentially very. Are there
look,
tears?
Imagine,
are there tears? There, are poets crying?
Tears,
that's what I want
to
know.
There's laughter. There's no sex. Sorry, guys. No sex in the film. But you can have sex at the film. You can, depending on where you see it. We're going to have to ask the Bushwick Film Festival if they're up to that.
Look, you have an apartment. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, you can have sex while you're listening to this broadcast right now.
Yeah,
and you can call in while you're
shit.
Having
sex. If you can't find time to have sex, that's your problem, not mine. So anyway, the thing is that... That must be very powerful. And
look, not all of the poets are happy with this approach. Because look, you imagine yourself one of the hotshots of the poetry community.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
yeah,
it could happen.
Your comp. Yeah,
you're ready for it.
Yes,
right, third
right.
life. You dive in. But okay, and you've got your what the community calls bangers. You've got the poems which win. You know win.
Uh-huh.
And then suddenly you have a coach who you didn't choose.
Mm-hmm.
Bowery Poetry chose Lauren and John. You've got coaches who are telling you, no, better mm-hmm. write a new poem.
Mm-hmm.
Better change that.
Mm-hmm.
You might feel a little frustration there, you know, because what do these coaches know? And I think that's a lot of the fun of the movie and of that summer was these poets who are at the top of their game being forced to become Jordan. Get to the next level.
Yeah, and there was a lot going on that summer, right? Tell us, remind us, what was going on that summer?
Summer of 2016. So Summer of 2016 was both the storm and the calm before the storm at once, if that's possible. I mean, because it's on the eve of the presidential election. So there's all of that pent up questioning, political brinksmanship that was happening that summer. And at the same time, there's so much culturally that's bubbling over. And that's the summer that the movement of Black Lives Matter truly came to the fore and entered the public conversation in a way that it hadn't previously, and where a number of the potentially racially motivated police killings of young Black people were displayed on social media and
like which ones? I get so confused.
Alton
sadly,
Sterling,
so
Philando Castile. These are some videos that we chose to show in the film and to help contextualize what was going on.
So in other words, that's really cool because this is gonna this film could really be a historical, could be a souvenir or whatever, a note of an important moment in time when those things were happening. In 20 years from now, hopefully we won't be having these same kind of conflicts, I hope.
I pray that that's the case. And I think when we were documenting the summer, which is what our job was to do, to document what happened, every week, every day, there was some horrible new event occurring. And I think for myself as a producer and watching members of the SLAM team and the creative team behind the film, I think everyone involved just realized that this summer was one for the history books, and not necessarily in the best way.
No.
So I think when we were editing the film, which we did in a basement with no windows, no bathroom for the entire year of 2017, the whole editing team, story producer and editor David Lieberman, director Max Powers, producer Cora Atkinson, editor Nathan Punwar, I think we all felt that that weight of history on the process, that we wanted to make this a film not just for the current moment, but for
history.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's a lofty goal.
No,
I don't know if we accomplished it, but we certainly wanted to make sure that the film could be relevant 20 years. And if you're someone from another country who didn't know what was happening in 2016 America, you could watch this film and learn something about it.
Yeah. No, I think, the Poetry Slam movement is a great way to talk about a great great platform and perspective to talk about the Black Lives Matter movement, I think.
And that's what
it happens to be a really good match. And what I'm learning now from you is that how topical and how automatic the writing of these slams are. And so it seems like a really perfect match in that way.
Yeah,
because they really are set up to document the times.
Slam poetry is a word from the street. I mean, it's people talking about their own communities, whatever that community may be. And people in the slam poetry world certainly look to each other to tell their own stories about what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I think poets are becoming the new public intellectual in this way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people are looking to poets to hear what's going on when you can't look to the mainstream media to tell you what's going on. That's for damn sure.
Well, sadly, I don't know. But it's certainly been...
You can listen to Radio Free Brooklyn to find out what's going on.
We tell the truth here. We've got no reason not to. We're not making any money. Why not? We're just trying to have, you know. Tell me a little more. Like, how are slams... Like, what kind of qualities... How are slams judged? Like, how do you know?
What
kind of quality? What do they look for? The
most
words in 3 minutes.
All right. So now imagine you're a random person off the street who's never seen a slam. You walk into Bowery Poetry Club one Monday, and all of a sudden, now Ngochi is the host of the slam. It's called College Finals. That's the name of the slam now.
Mm-hmm.
And she walks up to you and says, "Would you like to be a judge?" And you say, "Of what?" And she says, "Of the slam." And you say, "What? I'm not qualified." And she says, "That means you're qualified."
Wow.
And what? How do you do it? What do you do? All you know is that you're judging from 0 to 10. And zero means it would be better to be dead than to have listened to that poem because it was that that horrible. And 10 is that you're having sex on the air. And it's just that great that you actually want to stop having sex and listen to the poem because it is that fucking good.
Mm.
So as an audience member, that's what you're doing. After each poem, you just have to agree that you don't have any skin in the game, that you aren't friends with any of the poets.
Oh, and so the audience is the judge?
So you pick 5 judges.
Out of the audience?
Out of the audience. No qualifications necessary.
And how do you pick, like, who raises their hands? The best looking?
I mean,
the tallest?
All of those things. No, the slam master or who's ever doing this job walks around and ask everybody, do you want to be a judge? Do you know anybody? Have you done this before? Tries to pick a diverse body. And that's why slam is so idiosyncratic. And that's why I think that bolsters Lauren, our coach's assertion that the scores don't really matter because ultimately you're just being scored by a jury of your peers who don't even really know what they're just saying whether they like the poem.
So let me ask you this. Is there a huge, like if somebody's clearly talented, does like their average you can just tell over time? Like how does anybody ever get ahead if that's what it's like?
Well, because, and I think this is a nice psychological, because you are a self-proclaimed
psychotherapist,
so you're very qualified to discuss the psychology of people in an audience. What I think, no matter what people know or don't know about an art form, they believe they have something to say about it.
Oh, I don't disagree with that at all. But what I'm saying is like, how do you know, like, if it's so random, how does somebody come out, like, being good at it?
Because there is an effect that happens when you're in an audience, when you're at Bowery Poetry and you're sitting there and someone gets on stage and they perform one of their slam poems that just hits every sense of you. I mean, they're in front of you. You can feel the spit on your face. You can feel the passion. It's so palpable that you have to give it a 10.
So I get that. I get that part. The part I don't get is the consistency. Because in other words, like if there's no, it's just, I guess, like I'm just,
yeah,
like,
it's
you know
not.
What I mean?
It's not. And one of the adages that Bob Holman, who founded Bowery, always says is the best poet always loses. And in a way, that's the case. You know, there's nothing standardized in a way about slam poetry here. You can't be sure that because you're the best poet, you're going to get ahead. You can't be sure that because you're a great poet, you're going to continually be judged properly.
This sounds like the shittiest career ever. This sounds like the shittiest career ever.
It's even worse
you're
than
being judged
not being
by
paid
people
to
don't
do a
even
radio show.
Know anything. Jesus. Okay. let me tell you a little more about Radio Free Brooklyn, because it's the best radio station in the world. And thanks for listening. I'm here with now one of my close, Nick, are we close friends now? We could be close friends, right?
We're close in proximity.
anyway, we're having a really great talk about the film that Nick produced for the Bushwick Film Festival called Don't Be Nice. So you should stick around. It's about slam poetry. You should stick around after I do the station ID where I tell you about... Do you know we do live shows? We're having a live show on Monday, and it's going to be fabulous. It's at the Pine Box Rock Shop, which is 12 Grattan Street, and it's hosted by two of our hosts, this is ridiculous. There's no vowels in this Polish name. Dymitry Kaczynski and Chris Calabrese. All Nice on Ice, and it's a weekly, they have a weekly show, and they're going to be bringing it to Pine Box live in person on stage, October 15th, 9 to 11, and it's free. And you can listen to their regular show, It's All Nice on Ice, on this station live every Tuesday, 10 to 1, on RadioFreeBrooklyn.org. Okay, let me ask you this.
Ask me anything.
Okay, Nick.
All right.
This is what I want to know.
Okay, Lisa.
I want to know. So what Okay, I want to hear more about the competition they did, the actual show. But what do you get from winning a poetry slam? What do you get out of it?
A nice pat on the
back. I'm really selling this film, aren't I?
Yeah, no, you are. What do you get out of months of hard work in competition? Well, first of all, if you're in the slam poetry world, you care about slam poetry and you care about the other poets in your community and you want to succeed within that.
Yeah,
so you get the love and admiration of everyone in the slam poetry community.
And anybody that kids you, you know, people talk about all their creative careers, and that is number one, no matter what the fuck they're telling you about.
You want to be respected by your peers.
You want to be respected
by your
peers. Yeah, and that is number one for all, whether you admit it or not, it is. You create a person.
I mean, and let's stay on the creative benefits. Another is that you have been tested. You've been tried by fire in that form, and you come out 10 times better than you came in, than you went in. And I think that's one of the most exciting parts for me being the producer and watching the poets in our film, and how over the course of the production process and then since the film's been completed, how much they've improved, you know, as from my perspective.
Right. So that's inspiring.
So you get that. You get better by competing, by challenging yourself to compete, you get better. Then there's if you're in the top 15, say, or if you come out on top in the competition, you're going to get offers for speaking tours, for college tours with your poetry. You'll get gigs, you'll get offered performances, performance opportunities at places like Bowery Poetry Club. It can lead to book deals. And really, so as you know, so much about being an artist is branding yourself and building a business around that, that brand. And I think that's really what it gives you an opportunity to do. It gives you a visibility where you might otherwise not find it. And in this case, the poets in our film have a feature documentary made about them.
Well, yeah, that's pretty big. Yeah, look at that.
Thousands of people all over the world are seeing them and falling in love with them.
So what is there a connection between, like, and I'm no expert on this kind of, on music in general, but no expert, not on this station, that's for sure, but like hip-hop and rap and slam poetry, is there a connection there?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, another great quote from Bob Holman is that hip hop is a form of poetry that's bigger than poetry itself. And I think that slam poetry has really moved towards being a prototype and being a training ground, a proving ground for hip hop artists.
Yeah, because it seems like, you know, like a powerful poem, like, and I'm picturing, you know, I mean, I have seen some, you know, slam poetry, I mean, that could be pretty intense. And if you just put music to it, can't they just be rocks? You know, can't they just be Kanye West?
Yeah, and some poets want to do that, but not all of them. And I wouldn't even say most. And that's another thing that I really respect about the poets in our film is they're doing it to be poets. You know, they want, or I mean, I don't know the contents of their souls.
Right.
But I'm watching what a lot of the poets in our film and in the community do, and they're sticking with poetry and they're pursuing poetry. And I think a lot of poets, myself included, want to see poetry brought even more towards the fore of everyday life.
Right.
And that's what we're doing. I mean, at Bowery, we're putting on live shows, but we've also created Slam Fine TV, which is the opportunity for now poets to really enter the digital realm. And it's an app that's coming out in November on the App Store and on the Google Play Store. It's called slamfind.tv. And you'll be able to watch some of the best poetry performances from around the world on this app. And we think that that's one of the things that we can do and be part of to give poets other platforms to grow. So a lot of poets, though some may fancy themselves hip hop stars or hope that they could get there one of these days, I think a lot of poets are looking to try to take their form poetry and make it more popular.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can see how in a certain way, it sounds like almost a purer form of hip hop in a certain way, or like a way of, I mean, like, you know, maybe like a little less popular, but maybe a little more powerful.
Yeah, I think so. I think it has different objectives.
I don't mean popular, easy to digest. Like music's easy.
I mean, there's, you have to listen to it.
Yeah.
And if you don't listen to what the poets are saying, you're not getting anything from it. Whereas
right,
music
right,
has
right.
the aspect where, like, some people don't even, never listen to the words of a song. And
right.
some people only listen to the words of a song. But for slam poetry, if you're not listening to the meaning, then why are you listening?
So I'm going to say, if you're a hip hop expert, this is something you should also know about.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you should
come to
Bowery Poetry. Yeah, I think there's some scholarship. I'd love to hear more if anyone listening is a hip hop scholar.
Hey, let's try and give those tickets away again. Are you going to love this film? So if you want to call in, 718-928-9732, you can call in and win two tickets for Saturday night at 7:40 to see the film.
We're playing at Chemistry Creative, which is 305 10 Ike Street in Brooklyn. And we're playing as part of an official selection in competition at the Bushwick Film Festival.
Oh, nice.
So,
I didn't know that.
It's an incredible opportunity. And to get to play the film in our home city.
And you got a Saturday night gig through the Bushwick Film Festival. So
I feel very lucky.
Yeah,
and the tickets are almost sold out for the show. So one of the only ways to get them is through this giveaway.
Yeah,
yeah, we're excited.
You know, I'm going to be honest with you, Nick. I'm not a big call-in show because I usually get so into the mud with
don't
my guests.
Don't call in. So in fact,
we may not get a lot of call-ins this way. Do you want to have another?
Yeah, if you miss this opportunity,
well,
I want you to go to our social media for the film. We're at Don't Be Nice Movie on Instagram, on Twitter, and on Facebook. And if you send a message saying, I want tickets, we'll get in touch with you. And if you're one of the first few people to do that, we'll make sure you get tickets this Saturday. So go to at Don't Be Nice Movie and let us know. Let us know that you want to come.
That's a pretty good deal, I would say. So I want to know a little bit about the Ultimate Slam. The whole preparation was of this whole movie is for a big competition, right?
Yeah, the big show in Decatur, Georgia.
So tell me, like, what are the stakes there? I want to understand that.
Well, there's 100 teams from across the country competing. Yeah. And
all U.S. teams?
All U.S. teams in this competition. This is the National Poetry Slam.
Is this pretty much it seems like a very American kind of thing, is it?
You may think that. It's huge in America, but it's also big in Europe.
Mm.
And it's big in parts of Asia as well. You know, there's mm-hmm. slams in India. There's slams in the Philippines, quite big in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
In Europe, Spain, England, Germany, those are three countries that are really
Paraguay?
Big.
How about Paraguay?
Paraguay. You know what? I have no idea.
Okay.
But I'm going to find
out. So it's 100 teams from...
100 teams, and there's a lot more than 100 teams in the country. So it's 100 teams who decide to... 100 teams who decide to find some way to come up with the money to come to this competition. And, you know, everybody descends upon whatever city that the slam's taking place in. And in 2016, it was in Decatur, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
So you got 100 teams.
Is this the biggest national one?
This is the biggest national one.
Got it.
And this is put on by Poetry Slam International, which is a nonprofit organization that puts together the National Poetry Slam. It actually puts together the Individual World Poetry Slam, which the community calls IWIPS. And so that's not a team competition. That's an individual competition. It's actually happening right now in San Diego.
Today?
It's happening today. It's great
freaky.
Timing. And again, if you want to see more of that, you got to go to slamfind.tv because we are there filming the competition.
Oh, wow. And you're here and they're out there.
Yeah, I mean, unbelievable.
Well, because of the movie.
Yeah, well, Mason Granger, who is the new director of Bowery Poetry, he is there filming right now. He is the brains behind Slamfind TV. And, an incredible slam poet himself.
Mm-hmm. So what's that like? What are the stakes? There's 100 teams, 5 people each team or something. Like, what is that like? What is that experience like for people that go there?
You guys got to see the film.
Is it in one theater?
So
is it in different theaters?
There's a number of venues and the competition is a number of rounds. So you have two initial bouts. You have to win both of those bouts to move on to the semifinals. And then if you win the semifinals, you move on to the finals. But essentially, the venues and the crowds get bigger as you move along. So the first bouts, take place in community rooms, say, where you have a 100 or so people packed in, and then you get to the finals, which will be on a main stage with a 1,000 plus seats.
Wow.
So it's really, you know, you work your way up. And one of the fascinating aspects is that you, as a team, you cannot repeat a poem until you get to the finals. So part of the strategy of this sport, because there is strategy to it, is the order in which you roll out your poem. And you don't even know if you're going to, if you don't win that bout, you don't move on to the next competition. So you might say, I'm going to save my best poems for last, but then you don't get to the end. So you never got to do your best poems.
Oh, man, this is an emotional roller coaster.
It's a ride. You got to bring some, you got to bring some tissues because you're going to be crying.
How long does this major competition go on for? How many
days?
It's
about a week.
Really? And so what happens is everybody hang out in their... That could have been a reality show right there, like the hotel room or something.
Yeah, well, there's the main hotel. But we actually, because we were filming the thing and because the poets in our film really wanted to focus on perfecting their performances, we actually rented a house for the week.
Oh, neat.
And we had both the poets and the film crew living in the same house under the same quarters and, you know, going through those final days together.
And we get to
together.
See some of that.
You get to see all of it. You know, the film is really a behind the scenes, because I'm sure you guys have all wondered what happens behind the scenes of a poetry team.
Oh, but man, even if you haven't wondered, it's got to be intense.
I mean, it's just something nobody's ever seen before.
Especially when you have like five personalities and these people have to be very outspoken or being comfortable. Wow, this is going to be good. I can't wait to see this.
Yeah, the poets in our film are incredible people and... some of the best poets in the world, as I've said. And you see over the course of this film, them testing themselves and pushing each other to be better. And you see, so some of these poets now have hit poems like we talked about, and you see those hit poems being written and crafted in this film. So it's really like, it's a making of the band film in a way. If you see these poets really rising to another level of talent and success. And it's also a film that's truly about a decision that I think every artist faces once or many times or every day in their career, which is, are you going to make something that you think will be successful? Or are you going to say, fuck all, I just want to make the thing that's true for myself?
Mm.
And for Slam, most poets might never have that choice, because how can you be successful, let's say, writing a poem that's going to be in your notebook and maybe get published and read by a few thousand people. But when you're a spoken word poet and you're on stage and you're on Slam Fine TV and you're on this main stage of 2,000 people, you have this desire to please them. And make,
So
what's that internal conflict between writing the true poem and writing the poem you think is going to win?
Wow, this is making me more tense now.
That was the idea. There's no release. You have to come to
the movie.
So, you
know what? I'm really stoked about this film. Seriously. I want to remind everybody where it is and the date. And it's this coming Saturday. That's in just a couple of days. It's the 13th. And it starts at 7:40, goes to 9:15. And it's at the Chemistry Collective at 305 10 Ike Street, which is the Morgan stop. Or the Montrose stop, one of those. It's very close to the radio station, I'll tell you that. And the official site is don'tbenicemovie.com. But I also want to, we got 10 more minutes here. So I just want to make sure that we get in. I want to hear a little bit about you, and I want us to talk a little bit about the Bushwick Film Festival.
Yeah.
And because... I actually had a film in there. Well,
what was it?
Somebody made a film about me. Wow. Filmmaker Spencer Shilley, who's a reality TV guy, and he made a film about me not wanting to get married called Cold Feet. And so I've actually had that film. I've actually been in the festival.
What was that experience like? Because I haven't been in the festival either. I'll find out on Saturday.
You know, and I know Quay Bay because she's the director and the inventor, the founder of this festival. And have you met her yet?
Not yet. I'm looking forward
to it. Well, Quay Bay is just like the most, I mean, I'm going to like have these superlatives.
Do it.
I mean, the, just any list of superlatives that, you know, talk about somebody who's smart and giving and funny and everything great. And I can't, you know, she's been interviewed a lot and people love her. And so I don't really need to go on about that. But the festival itself, I mean, being in the festival was a huge experience. I mean, my friend who, the director, filmmaker, came from L.A. I mean, it was huge, a huge, huge experience. The festival, and that was a few years ago. I mean, the festival is a really, really well-respected festival, the Bushwick Film Festival. And Kwebe is remarkable in that she is really championed something that has just gotten bigger and bigger, and
yeah,
also, there's so many great people involved.
I want to shout out to Joseph Wilworth, who's been the programmer, who's our point of contact, and has just been championing the film at the festival. I mean, it's a huge honor. Like, what can I say to be part of this festival?
Is.
I mean, I've known of the festival by reputation, and then now to have
a
film in it is incredible.
I mean, Joseph stopped by right before you went on the air.
Yeah, he stopped by to make sure I showed up,
because, which is like amazing considering how busy things are here. But
well, that's the thing. It's not all festivals are that personal, and this festival has really gone out of its way too. I got a phone call yesterday from someone in the office saying, "Is everything all set? Do you have all the tickets you need?" I've never had that before. This is a very hands-on festival. They clearly care about the films and the filmmakers, and they're trying to get it out to the audience. And even this opportunity they created for our film to be able to be on your show. I mean, this is huge. To get to really talk about. It's huge. I mean, this is the best free radio station in the world, and I'm on the best. And I'm
that
on the best show.
Amazing.
I'm
you
on the
are
best show
lucky.
On the best radio station
well,
in the world.
You know, I guess you are
so,
kind of lucky.
I mean,
I have to admit, you know, Kwebe was on this show right in the beginning. I had her on with me, and it was before she was engaged. And if you look it up, you could probably get some insight into Kwebe, which is pretty interesting.
So do you have all of your shows archived?
They are. They're archived on Podomatic or iTunes. And the one with Kwebe was fabulous. And you know what I loved about it? I was thinking about it today before I came on, was that Kwebe is potentially an intimidating person because she's so together and perfect and gorgeous and smart and well-spoken and all that other stuff. But you know what? When she was on my show, I really got to see somebody who had, I saw a vulnerable and fun loving side of her. And I'm really, I feel like that was a privilege to see that side of her. So remember, she has that side when you meet her, which I'm sure you will, because you look at her and you're like, whoa, it's a very powerful woman. But
it's
she's
a huge
real,
thing
she's
to,
a huge
to run
person.
A film festival. There's so much that goes into it.
She's got a lot of energy, a lot of brains. And she's just beautiful with people is what it is. It really comes down to a lot of that. But I hope you get to meet her and you have
it. Me too. I'm sure I really hope I get to over the course of the festival.
Yeah. But she has a great team like Joseph and everybody. And that was another thing about being involved with the festival that I got out of it, was that how the team was really, they just really worked so well together, and like having, you know, at the screening and everything I had to do with the festival, you know, you really got a feeling of working with a team. So I can see why this festival has been doing really well, and why it continues to do well, and why they have, you know, really interesting films such as yours.
And I want to thank Chen for connecting me to you for this opportunity
as
well.
It's great. And also, it seems like your film is a little edgy, and it probably wouldn't have been at every festival.
It's been at a lot. You know, we've won 3 awards already. We won the Macon Film Festival, the Atlanta DocuFest. Max Powers won Best Young Director at Port Townsend Film Festival.
Wow.
This is maybe our 15th festival. And you're right.
They're fearless.
They're fearless. And also, I think running a poetry organization, I am a firm and passionate believer in free speech, and I see that with this festival. I see a willingness to program things based on their perceived quality and not shying away from difficult topics, and that makes me really respect
it. And so anyway, Bushwick Film Festival.
That's
so
the one.
And it's all weekend, all week, the rest of the week. And, you know, just go to the website. They, I mean, we're talking about one film, but there's every kind of film and shorts and there's everything. So you guys should go check it out, because especially if you're anywhere in the neighborhood, because this is a fucking gift. All right.
And we're giving away the fucking gift of tickets. So yeah, reach out at Don't Be Nice Movie.
Give me a couple of minutes. We got 5 minutes left and I want four of them to be about how this film has changed your life. Nick, go.
Oh, well, it's my first opportunity of making a feature documentary from start to finish. And we're not at finish yet. From conception of when the idea came about, we've got to document this. Melina Brown stepping in with funding and saying, you can do this. Finding Max Powers, the director, to say, I'm going to put 2 years of my life. Peter to film it. Cora to co-produce. David to story produce. Nathan to edit. You know, a credible team to dive into it. And now we're at the point where we're taking it out to the audiences. And after spending 2 years with a passion project like this, and then to sit in an audience of a few hundred people and hear them laugh along or cry along or heckle along, whatever the response is, there's something inward that comes out there. And I have to imagine that there's maybe a similar feeling that when you are a performer, when you are a slam poet and you've been crafting this thing and then you take it out to the audience and you can't predict how they're going to respond. And so there's that feeling there of, mm-hmm. I get butterflies before every screening because how's the audience going to respond? And there's some sense of validation when they love it, which they so often have. And there's also, you know, that sense that we're entering a conversation and the questions we get from the audience, the questions we get from the media, it forces me to think about what I've been a part of and to really
okay,
look
Nick,
at the strengths
gonna,
and weaknesses.
As Dr. Lee, so I'm going to say that you deflected that question.
How has it changed my life?
You knew it.
And I knew I deflected
Why
it.
Why did
Thank you
do you. That?
Well, because I
feel like you're here to promote the film?
I'm definitely here to promote
okay,
the film.
Okay, but we want to know, we want to be invested in you too.
All right, so how has it changed my life? It's taken away a lot of sleep. It's made me very tired. Because it's been a huge process. There's been a lot
feel,
of things there.
Do you feel like it's still like kind of in the, you're still living in the yeah. middle of it and you really don't know yet?
I don't know how it's going to come out the other
Is
side.
Is this the biggest project you've ever
it's
done?
It's the biggest project I've ever done. We're in negotiations with different distributors right now. So, and I'm acting as the film sales agent right now. So I'm just trying to...
You're doing good.
I'm trying to keep my mind open to what the possibilities are. I mean, mm-hmm. it's been a roller coaster and it continues to mm-hmm. be. Because mm-hmm. I think one of the things that I've learned is that when you put out a piece of art, and this might sound obvious, but it's something you just can't anticipate how people are going to react.
Right.
And they're going to react in every way. And right. and I think that's been something like if one of the things that I can take away from this is a sort of I hope a strength where no matter what people say about what I've made, that I can believe in my artistic vision behind it.
Right. And I also want to point out to you and everybody else that like what you do, putting a film together or even running the Bowery Poetry Club. Is the leader of an organization. There's a leadership role that you have with other creative people that a lot of artists, I mean, like I don't have that same pressure, hardly ever. I've had it, but hardly ever. And so you're also dealing with that. So what's affecting everyone, you're affected by the whole fabric of people involved in the film.
And you know, and that's something that I'm learning even in this conversation, that responsibility that I feel sometimes makes me be nice because I know I'm representing an organization in a
right.
film. So I maybe should take some learning from this film too and not be nice.
Well, I don't know, but I think it's really, I mean, we have to come back, you have to come back so we can talk about it more because the feeling I'm getting right now is that you're in the process of processing, having produced this film. And I think actually Saturday night is going to be a big moment for you
yes.
when the film is played here at the festival. And you see how what happens. And,
I can't wait.
I think it'll be great. Personally, I can't imagine it not being. I'm not bullshitting you, but